Hey, I'm Julia Altamirano, and today's date is November 29th, 2019, and I'm here with my grandma Norma, and I'm 17 years old, and Grandma, you were just telling us about growing up on the farm during World War I in Fairhope, Alabama, not World War II. So can you tell us what that was like?
Sure, Julia. I'll be happy to. But I was born in 1937, and World War II began in 1940, early 40s, and we lived on a farm, and everybody had to go to war. All the young men of age had to go to help fight the war effort. And all of my brothers who normally kept our farm up, which was about 600 acres, and we had chickens and ducks and cows and horses and goats and whatever. And I was about 6 or 7 years old at that time, and we all, even the little ones, all had jobs to do to keep the farm going. And one of my jobs was gathering eggs from the chicken house. And we had about 100 dairy cows that had to be milked twice a day. We had to help bring the dairy cows in from the pastures and bring them up to the dairy barn. And we had to help feed the cows while they were being milked. And then we'd had to help let the cows out and to go back into the pasture until the next milking time. And my mother, in order to make a living, even though we had lots of land at that time, very few people had money, and everything was going to the war effort. And my mother used what we had on the farm to feed the family and make our clothes and buy our shoes and things like that.
What did you make your clothes out of?
Chicken sacks, chicken feed sacks. And we'd have to, my mother would have to save up so many sacks with different prints in order to get enough fabric of one kind to make our clothes, including our bloomers.
So back then, the chicken feed manufacturer printed prints on the sacks because they knew they were going to be reused for clothes.
Right, and the women in town would save their feed sacks also, and they would swap around and exchange.
Is that what's called sackcloth?
I don't know. Maybe so. I don't. I doubt it. But anyway, most everybody I knew had those kinds of clothes. But my mother would peddling back then. I don't know what they would call it now, but she sold the produce from the farm, and she would take the milk from the dairy barn, and we, the children and the adults who were still on the farm, would churn the milk to make butter and buttermilk. And the children would help process the milk into butter by churning the old-fashioned churns that had the wooden handles, and you plunged it up and down until the butter came. And then when she had the butter all made, we had to package it in half-pound and pound packages. And she took it to Mobile. At that time, Mobile had a huge Air Force base called Brookley Field. And there were lots and lots of military people working there, and also civilians who had to do all the work, like on the airplanes and spare parts and things like that for planes all over the world. And so the government built a very large housing development that was probably within 5 or 10 miles from the base where the dependents of the military people lived, and also the workers who came in from all over the state to work on the airplanes to make repairs, and also building planes. And so my mother peddled her produce to this very large housing development that housed the dependents of these people. And she sold butter, she sold milk, she sold eggs, she sold live chickens, turkeys, and anything that was growing on the farm that these people could use.
How did she get the stuff from your farm to this compound?
She had, we had a pickup truck. I think it was a 1941 pickup truck. Ford.
I was thinking horses in the,
no,
in the cart.
No. No, not that old. No. Although we did have a couple of mules that were used for plowing small plots here and there.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Their names were Beck and Kate. And the commands to work the mules were G and Hall.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. One meant going left and the other one going right.
Really?
Yeah. G Hall. Huh. And, but we had tractors and things like that also. But we did have a group of German prisoners of war who were imprisoned in a small compound north of Loxley, which was not too far from our farm. And they came and worked on the farm for some time. And they were very nice young men, just like ours, just like our soldiers. And they were very polite, and we had no fear of them. And they were probably just happy to get out and get out in the sun and work on a farm.
Tell us what you did with chickens.
You have to catch them in the.
Catching them, and how did you clean them?
Well, we didn't help clean them, but later on we grew chickens just for the deep freezes, and when they came of age where they were time to be processed, the men would catch them and wring their necks and throw them into a gunny sack. And then as soon as they were dead, then the women had a big pot of boiling water, and they would dip the chicken's head first down into the boiling water. I guess it would be called scalding water. And for a few minutes, no, for probably less than a minute, so that the feathers would be released and you could clean the chickens and then take them into the house and butcher them and put them in the freezer. So that was, we'd usually do about 100 chickens at a time. We did that, and
and then you still have a wooden butter mold,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do. I have a butter mold and a half-pound butter mold. But that was how my mother made money. That's how my mother made money to support our family while the men were gone. And my two older brothers, most of these men were never drafted. They volunteered as soon as the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And my two older brothers, one brother was in the Marines and one brother was signed up for the Navy. And they were about 17, 18 years old at this time. And my two uncles who lived nearby also joined. And about four other young men who lived with a family a mile from our house. All of these went to war right about the same time. And they were barely any men left in our little town of Loxley. And most of them who did not go to war were farmers. And they needed to be left to work the farms to feed the troops. And so my brother was one of my brothers was stationed in the Pacific on a ship, and I don't remember the name, but he saw action. One of my uncles was also stationed in the Pacific, and he made a career of the Navy and retired as a chief petty officer. And there was nobody left to do the work. The women had to do the work. And we had very few clothes, and most of our clothes were made out of feed sack material. Feed sacks were of different designs, and we would have to save up enough sacks to make one garment of the same design. And the women in town would all save up their sacks and swap them around in order to have enough of the same design to make a dress.
Didn't somebody lie about their age to get into the military?
No. Most of them did.
Yeah.
Uncle Mike.
How old was he?
He was 15.
Oh. So he said he was 17 or something?
I think 17 might have been the minimum, yeah. And but he served in World War II and Korea and Vietnam and in the special forces and down on the coast of South America. I don't remember what that battle was. But anyway, all the men in my family went to war. But I wanted to tell you one other thing that I recently learned, that just a few miles from where I live right now, in Fairhope, there it was a family named Mayer, M-E-A-H-E-R, and he was a ship captain. And he, on a dare from a friend, took the last ship and went to somewhere around Africa and brought in the last slaves after slavery was abolished. This was like in the 1700s. But
1800s.
Maybe late 1800s. But they brought this 117 slaves on this one ship, wooden ship, sailing ship. And he brought them in right here, just 20 miles from where we live, into Mobile, North Mobile, Alabama, which is now called Plateau, and they've renamed it Africa Town. And there the slaves were taken to the little communities around and sold to the farmers and plantation owners. And that ship is now buried in the mud on the Tensaw River.
Yeah.
And
I saw a special on that where the
Ken Burns.
I think it was Ken Burns. Maybe.
I think so.
But where the a government leader from the African country where the slaves were sold from came over to acknowledge that they were part of that whole transaction.
Yeah.
In that ship. You know, they wrecked it up in the,
yeah,
the Delta. Up
tried to burn it,
yeah,
to destroy the evidence because they could have gone to prison for bringing
right
that load of slaves. They brought the slaves in. The slaves were naked, and they were held for months down below in the hold,
mm-hmm,
and with very little to eat. And most of the descendants in that little community are descendants of that slave ship. What was called the Clotilda.
That's right.
Interesting.
And the family who did, the captain was named Mayer,
uh-huh,
and they donated the land for Mayer Park, on the causeway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they have a big estate down just north of the Grand, south of the Grand Hotel. That this, the estate has been laying dormant for years and years. It's all overgrown, and they've never done anything with there. Maybe, I don't know for what reason. Mm. But
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's just south of the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Great stories.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
And thank you for talking with us.
Well, you're very welcome, Julie. Julie.
Thanks.
Maggie.